Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
The wrong advices.
Hey, what's up, guys, and welcome to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and you're listening to episode number 53. We've got a bunch of cool stuff lined up for you this week. Right now, you're listening to Advices Radio. A little bit later in the week, you will hear David Johnston and Beyond Driven. He's going to have special guest Evan Santapani. So that should be pretty badass. Be sure to tune back in for that. And then toward the end of the week, we'll have Blood, Sweat, and Gear, S2H, Skip Hill, myself, and special guest Phil Viz. Speaking of Phil Viz, he happens to be the coach of our guest today, James Boudreau. James is an NPC bodybuilder here in Michigan. I met him at the Western Michigan just a few weeks back. We were both competing in that show. We got to talking backstage. He was in outstanding shape. The guy was absolutely ripped to the bone. Looked really good. Not only is James a bodybuilder, not only is he the father of twins and a husband and a small business owner, he also has a very serious disease, cystic fibrosis. Now, cystic fibrosis isn't something that I was familiar with until I met James. I had heard the term. I knew very little about it. It is a disease that the first understanding I had is that it affects the lungs. But as James will tell us, it affects a lot of other areas of our bodies as well. From what I understand, there are 30,000 people in the U.S. that have it, 70,000 people worldwide, and that about 1,000 people are diagnosed with it each year. There's a very serious issue that he has to deal with, not to mention still be his best as a bodybuilder. You know, as we'll hear in the show, it creates a lot of complications. And look, I find this to be very humbling because he has such a great attitude about being the best he can while still dealing with this. You know, we all have various issues that we have to deal with. Some of them are worse than others. I'm a coach and I work with a lot of different people at different levels. I work with, you know, young people that are in great shape and that are doing really well and they're healthy. I have some people that are older and they've been around for a while. They've been doing this for some time. They're dealing with trick joints and aches and pains. I have people that have more serious problems, things like IBS, or one gentleman that has Crohn's. And if he eats the wrong thing, it can mess up his digestion for an extended period of time. So we're all dealing with different things. We're all at different levels. And, personally, like I said, I find this to be a humbling story. And, you know, the next time that I want to complain, I can look to somebody like James and say, hey, you know, this guy's dealing with a lot more than I am. What do I have to complain about? And so I wanted to share his story with you, share his hope. I hope that you guys can get something out of it. And I hope that James gets something out of it too. Guys, here's the show. James Boudreau. I hope you enjoy the week here at Advices Radio. Let's hit it. Welcome to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and with me today is James Boudreau, middleweight bodybuilder here in Michigan. He's got a really interesting story that I wanted to bring to the show, and I think that you guys will be interested in this. And you're probably going to be a little bit inspired too. So, James, thanks for being with me, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Scott. I appreciate it.
So here's the story, guys. Yeah, I met James when I competed out at the Western Michigan. You know, we're backstage and I see this guy just freaking peeled to the bone. And I had heard about him from my friends. He had competed at Central States the week before, about this middleweight who was just shredded. And on top of that, he had cystic fibrosis. And I didn't know what this was. I didn't know who this guy was. And then I meet him, you know, a couple weeks later. Really nice guy backstage. And I went that whole night not knowing that this was the same guy who had cystic fibrosis. I would think that somebody who has this illness, this would be somebody who couldn't get into the shape you got into. We were talking backstage, man. There's just so many interesting facets to your story. So for starters, can you tell us a little bit about what cystic fibrosis is?
Yeah. So basically the easiest way to understand the disease, and it'll bring it full circle for everybody, because some people, or a majority of people, may have heard of the disease. You actually learn about it in high school because it's fairly common in this, especially in this area.
Really?
Of the world and the United States, yeah. And then and especially in this area of the United States, the Midwest. And I know we touched on it briefly when I was in school, and then when I tell people about it, they're like, oh, yeah, I remember hearing about something like that. Because you learn about it because it's actually genetic. So you learn about it with the squares when you're doing anatomy and all that stuff.
Okay.
So basically, in a nutshell, it's on a cellular level, there's these little pumps that pump out sodium chloride, so salt, that hydrate your cells. And my pumps actually just don't really work. So in essence, anything that has mucus naturally, which it's pretty much everywhere in your body on the inside, mine is just extra thick, extra crusty. So, and eventually what happens is you start getting multiple lung infections because there's no real way for you to clear it out from the bottom besides coughing.
Okay.
So, well, I guess what you can say a perk is I don't have to do abs because I cough all day. right? So, but so eventually it starts, and the more infections you get, the more your lungs just continue to start dying in those places because the mucus just starts suffocating those areas of lungs. So it actually is really common in the pancreas. So when people have cystic fibrosis, the majority of them don't have a full functioning pancreas. So in essence, right now with me, I don't break down fat very well at all. And even when I take enzymes to help me break it down, I still only break down about 80 to 90% of it. And it really depends on how much fat is in the meal too. If it's a really, really heavy fat meal, the odds of me breaking out even that much, even with enzymes, are smaller.
Okay.
And then diabetes comes along with it. Eventually, it's not really an if, it's more of a when. So it's actually called cystic fibrosis related diabetes.
Wow.
It's kind of its own type of diabetes. It's still, I think it's still considered like a type 1.
Okay.
And my sister, who actually had the disease, she had diabetes later on in her life before she passed away. She developed diabetes after her lung transplant in the CF. So even when you get a lung transplant, it's actually taken, like you don't ever have to worry about getting lung infections ever again. But, you know, your pancreas still doesn't work. The other things that come along with it. So in essence, with the pancreas part of it, it's just a lot of malabsorption.
Okay.
So a lot of people with CF, like I get bone density scans every 3 years to make sure, like, cause right now I'm pre-osteoporosis already.
Wow.
So,
and how old are you?
I'm 33 right now.
Okay.
And so I take calcium and stuff like that to kind of help counteract that. I don't drink a lot of milk. I kind of stopped drinking milk probably like 4 or 5 years ago. It just didn't really sit well with me in my stomach. I think everybody has some kind of issue with milk personally.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think a lot of bodybuilders kind of they're the ones that kind of feel like that too about everybody else. It's like, I feel like everybody else is in the dark. They're like, oh, why is my stomach hurting? It's like, well, it could be the milk you're drinking.
Yeah, I think that with a lot of normal people, that they're not in tune with what's going on with their bodies versus we see these little things. And you may notice, you know, a film over your body after you drink milk versus a normal person is just, you know, they can't tell.
Right. So I gave that up a while ago. But yeah, I mean, in essence, you actually did it's pretty simplistic the way you explained it in the one episode when I heard you guys talking about me. Was it really does, I mean, eventually the lungs just stop, they stop opening and closing.
Okay.
And that's eventually how you'll end up passing away unless you get a lung transplant.
Now, is that a guarantee for somebody with cystic fibrosis that at some point that's going to be the story? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. right now, I know I have a doctor's appointment actually coming up on Wednesday, the 29th of this month. And the nice thing is I go to a really, really, really good hospital. I go down to Columbus, Ohio.
Nice.
I've been going there since I was 8. So about a 3-hour drive for me. And they're one of the top research hospitals for CF.
Okay.
And I know that we're probably about 5 years away from a cure.
No kidding.
Is what they're saying now. There's a couple drugs that are on the verge of being approved that are definitely game changers.
Really?
So I mean, they're gonna help you maintain the level of lung function and all that stuff that you have right now. They're not gonna fix everything.
Yeah.
But there's a couple that show promise of actually just completely stopping the progression of the disease altogether.
Wow.
So I know those are on the horizon right now. So I'm pretty excited about that. And so my goal is, like I said, just keep myself where I'm at right now and keep the status quo until I get there.
Yeah. No, you know, you said this is a genetic thing. This is something that you were born with. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked a little bit before the show. You mentioned that at the time, you know, when you were born, people weren't as aware that this was a possibility, right, and that your parents, they didn't realize that they may have had kids, not only one, but you and your sister had both had it. So they weren't aware that this was a possibility back then, huh?
So like now it's the doctors actually recommend, you know, parents that are talking about conceiving. I mean, not everybody has the same, everybody goes on the same path, the same plan in life where they get married. And they're like, okay, we're ready to have kids now. And then they go to their gynecologist or whatever. And like, oh, we're ready to have kids. What should we do?
Yeah.
You know, most people are just like, oh, I'm pregnant. Okay, let's get married.
Right.
Or they're like, hey, we're married. Let's just have a baby. So like a lot of people will actually have testing done, or they'll get, you know, baby tested while they're pregnant, which actually is almost a mandated test now to find, and it's one of those diseases that's actually screened for while the baby's in utero.
Okay.
Which back then it wasn't. So my parents actually were both carriers and they had no idea. And when you have two carriers, you kind of go back to high school and all that stuff. And learning about it is you got a 25% chance of having a kid or having your offspring have that trait or that genetic disorder. My parents, unfortunately, had 2 out of 3.
Wow.
Now, when they're both carriers, it's almost a guarantee, or is a guarantee, that if you have a child, that they're at least going to be a carrier. So my sister, who's still with us, my youngest sister, Taylor, she actually's a carrier.
Okay.
So my parents made sure that was tested for. But yeah, she's definitely 100% a carrier. So if when she and she's actually pregnant right now, actually, go figure.
Wow.
And she already had her baby tested, so her baby's does not have CF.
Awesome.
No, but if her boyfriend ever had, was a carrier, she would have a 25% chance again of having a kid with CF.
Let me ask you this. You know, so this is something that you grew up knowing, you had this all your life. How did this affect you growing up, knowing that you were different, knowing that you had this, you know, basically hanging over your head?
Sure. that's a good question. My parents did a really, really, really good job making me feel completely 100% normal. So I from an early age, I was in sports. My mom was really competitive in sports. She's a super competitive person. And so I started playing sports, and it didn't really affect me that much when I was young, because even if I would stop and cough for a second, when you're that young, the disease really hasn't progressed if you've been really active. You know, like, activity is key with this disease, because you're constantly making the mucus that's in your lungs move. So it's not sitting dormant and it's not building infection.
Yeah.
So I was so active as a kid that it didn't really slow me down until I got into junior high, where I started noticing, you know, I was playing travel baseball and I'm like, and then my friends would ask me, like, man, why are you coughing so much? I'm like, well, I actually have asthma and I had cystic fibrosis. So it's kind of like a double whammy. So,
no kidding.
So like, you know, I'd always be like, oh, I have asthma, you know, I have CF. They're like, oh, what's that? I tell them, like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, kids, especially kids back then, like, social media, internet wasn't, like, prevalent. So it wasn't like kids go on the internet and, like, Google, like, what is CF?
Right.
You know, and then be like, oh, man, like, you're going to die. Like, you know, like, they didn't know that then. Like, I couldn't imagine being a kid now. You know, like you tell a kid that, the kid's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go on my iPhone really quick." I'm like, "Only 8."
Yeah.
I'm gonna go on my iPhone. And be like, "Oh man, you're gonna die in like 10 years." It's like,
yeah.
You know, so like, I didn't really feel that much different. Now,
okay.
My sister, a little bit different, like story, because she's a girl and she wasn't really as playful and active.
Mm.
She was getting hospitalized at a much earlier age, and people were like, "Oh, like, you guys have the same disease?" Like, I got a lot of questions of not only about me, but more like, why were her and I so different?
Okay.
So.
It's amazing the difference that can be, and it's really cool that, you know, you found sports at an early age to, I mean, I feel like sports have changed and helped so many of us, but I mean, really on a very fundamental level, man, that's literally saved your life, it sounds.
Yeah, and bodybuilding kind of goes along with it. Every time I go through these stints where I'm like, man, all right, I'm ready to buckle down and do this bodybuilding thing, my health always does really well.
Hmm.
Like, it just stays normal. Like, I don't get sick.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get hospitalized, because hospitalizations are super, super, like, when you get sick, I get hospitalized for 14 days with IVs, kind of like quarantine in the hospital room. Don't really get to do a whole lot, and not a lot of contact with anybody, which would suck now having kids. But it's been over almost 5 years now since I've been hospitalized. And before I got serious about bodybuilding, and I would say serious about my health as an adult, I was getting hospitalized two times a year. So you're thinking, you know, I'm spending about a month of my life in the hospital each year.
That's a lot.
And yeah, and the year before I got married, my wife and I got married in 2012, I actually got hospitalized 5 times.
Wow.
So you can imagine. I mean, it takes up a lot of time, a lot of your life.
And then that's more time that you're not moving, and you're sitting exactly there in the same place. Yeah.
Yep. So you're starting over from scratch again. So if I was bodybuilding at the time, or like, you know, putting on size, putting on any kind of mass, it was gone by the end of the 2 weeks. Hmm. You know, like, you're sitting in there not doing anything. You're just, you know, on the computer, on your phone, or just eating food or whatever. You know, so.
So you had mentioned too, and I don't know how much of a role that plays. We were talking backstage, and you said that, you know, you've hit your groove and you're sticking with this, and you had been training on and off in the past. Tell me a little bit more about that. You know, about the lack of consistency you had before, how much CF played or didn't play in that, and what changed in that situation, and what are you doing now?
Okay. So I'll briefly go over, like, so it, I'll try to give a brief, like a quick picture of like how it was when I was in high school and kind of the bug when I caught it and stuff. So I caught like the whole like getting bigger bodybuilding bug, I guess you could say, like when I was 18. It was senior year. We're getting ready for spring break. And it's a typical story, man. It's like, it's funny. I hear all these guys when they win nationals. They're like, yeah, I was like, you know, I started lifting because of girls.
Right,
it was
in high
school, you know?
You went abs, really was, right?
it was just the same thing for me. Like, you know, I'm like, man, I was like 112 pounds at like 5'7" or 5'8".
Yeah.
And my senior year, and I'm like, man, I've got to put on some size. Like, I've got to work out. And I always had like, I was always just like shredded. Like, that's one thing about having CF, because you're the malabsorption with food. I was just always shredded. Like, it didn't matter what I ate. And that's the thing. They always monitor your weight to make sure you're still gaining weight. And like, I struggled to gain weight, but you know, like, I was just always, like I said, just always shredded. So I'm like, all right, you know, if I just start like really force feeding myself.
Yeah.
Like, and started going to the gym, and I ended up getting up to like 135 pounds.
Okay.
Like 4 months.
And you probably were still shredded, right?
Oh, it was ridiculously shredded. Yeah. And so I go on spring break, everybody's like already asking the question, like, are you on steroids? Like, what are you taking? Like, it was funny, because I was like, CellTech days.
Yeah.
Oh man, you're on CellTech, aren't you? Like, you're on that creatine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, no, man, like, I'm literally just eating food and like just training all the time. Like, I was, you know, at night I'd be in the gym, and my dad would get off work like second shift.
Yeah.
And I'd be in the gym at the 24-hour gym that was like about 2 miles from our house. My senior year, my dad's like, what are you doing at the gym at 2 a.m? You leave school tomorrow?
Hmm.
I'm like, I didn't get my workout in. I got hit triceps and whatever that night, you know, like, and he was just like, holy crap, man, this kid is like seriously crazy. You know, like, he's, you know, because they always worried about me, you know, they're like,
yeah,
even though I was a tough kid, they're like, man, this kid, you know, he's got this disease and he's up at 2 a.m. not sleeping. Like, what's he doing? So, fast forward, I got out of high school. I stayed pretty consistent through the first couple of years of college, and then I kind of just lost interest. I was interested in girls, and every girl I met or any girl I kind of dated, I kind of got serious with, and I was like, I like lifting. I work out here and there, nothing major. So my body weight really hovered around like the 150 range for the longest time, man. And I was, like I said, always just really in really good shape. So it didn't look like I wasn't skinny fat like those kids, the guys who walk around like at 5'7", 5'8", that weight. Like, yeah. I was shredded. I had a six pack. I looked like I worked out still.
Yeah. So you can kind of coast in a way, and it still looked good.
Right. Right. And I think my dad's side of the family got two like Mr. Ohio's.
No kidding.
Two of them held like deadlift and squat records. My dad's uncles. So like, there's bodybuilding on my dad's side and like powerlifting. So like, I think my dad's side for those kind of genetics. I think my mom's side for like those lean kind of longer genetics.
Yeah.
So like, it kind of meshed well with me in terms of like, it just kept me lean but like strong and like kind of that shredded look.
Yeah.
So I get a little older and I'm like, all right, you know what? My buddy's like, hey, let's move to Vegas. I'm like, okay. I've never even been to Vegas. I'm like, let's do it.
Right.
So
right.
I transferred my job. I moved to Vegas and I started to really get into bodybuilding. Like, I didn't have a lot of friends out there. Me and my buddy weren't talking a lot.
It's a great bodybuilding town too. A lot of good gyms.
Right. Right. And this is where the story gets really cool, man. So I see Jay Cutler at Gold's. It's actually, I think, closed down in Flamingo. It was one of the original Gold's. This place was completely run down. I mean, I'm talking like nothing really worked, super hardcore.
Yeah.
They have a huge powerlifting section in the back. Like, so I go in there, I see Jay, you know, I'm talking to Jay, like training, whatever, getting more and more inspired. I'm getting deeper into bodybuilding. And then, I'm like, you know what? I have this ability to take off some time from work for my disease. And I was in a clinical trial for a new drug.
Okay.
That eventually got approved. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go on disability, which I know is a complete abuse of the system. And I'm going to bodybuild.
Yeah.
For like, you know, for like 6 months and see what happens.
Quote unquote, live the dream.
Right. Yeah, dude. Literally, I was living the dream. I was force feeding myself. So I was in the gym one night. I see this big dude. Like, I'm talking like he's probably close to 300 pounds. And he was like, I don't know if he's back squatting or front squatting. Some ridiculous amount of weight. I think it was like 495 or something like that. I'm pretty sure he's front squatting it.
You know,
no spotter or nothing. I'm like, what the hell? And then I'm like looking at him, I'm like, man, this guy looks really familiar. Who is this guy? And my buddy's with me and he goes, that's not like a pro or something like that. I'm like, no, I know who that is. And it was funny because it was when Muscular Development was doing a lot of coverage of amateurs.
Okay.
It was Robert Bernica.
No kidding.
Yeah, so he's from Lithuania.
Yeah.
He moved to Las Vegas to train with Dennis Wolf.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, so Dennis Wolf had just moved to the States, and so did Robert Bernica. And I walk up to him, I'm like, are you Robert Bernica? And he's got that deep accent. He was like, right. I am. I'm like almost like Terminator-ish. I'm like, yeah, right. Okay. And so I tell him, like, hey, dude, like, I'm really into bodybuilding. Like, what can I do? So this guy, like, literally takes me under his wing.
No kidding.
And he's like, all right, let's do this. You know, I went from, and this is all natural, I went from 165 pounds to 207 pounds in literally less than a summer.
Holy shit.
And I, like, when I say I was force feeding myself, I was literally forcing myself so much that when I was doing my check-ins with him, he was like, are you taking insulin? And I'm like, no. He's like, all right, well, you started to get a little fat. He goes, I didn't think you could get fat with your disease. And I'm like, near to die.
Yeah.
And he's like, how much food are you eating? And I was telling him, he's like, holy crap, like, how are you even eating? Like, it was all clean food.
Dude. Like, do you remember how many calories it was or how many carbs we're talking here?
We're talking probably close to, oh, I mean, I know I was just over 1,000 grams of carbs a day. And it was clean.
Yeah.
There was nothing dirty. Like, I ate only rice, oats.
Jesus.
Yeah. Potatoes.
That's hard to do, man. That's really hard to do. I mean.
My first shake in the morning was like a mass gainer shake I made up.
Okay.
And it had two full cups of uncooked oats in it.
Oh God. So you were eating that shake, not drinking it basically.
Yeah. So it was absurd. And I just kept getting bigger. And it got to the point like where I couldn't even tie my shoes anymore because I'd gotten so big so fast.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of slow down. I ended up peaking at 232 pounds.
Wow.
And at 5'7" ish. And I didn't look all that pleasing.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, but I still had abs.
Really?
And yeah. And I don't know if it's because of the coughing or just that, I mean, I don't carry a lot of fat there. I don't know, but I still had abs. It was kind of cool. I was lifting crazy amounts of weight. And that was kind of the time when I went through a bad breakup and I ended up moving to Arizona. And I decided, like, all right, you know, I'm going to slim down. And this is where I got really, one of those times where I got really inconsistent.
Okay.
I went on a huge crash diet of chicken and rice, but small amounts. And I got down to like 187, 188. It was when I had a bowel obstruction too.
Okay. Yeah. So I was hospital. So tell me a little bit about that while we're here, because you were saying that this is also a part super of CF.
Common. It's super common. So with the mucus, it's in the digestive tract too, in the intestines, everywhere. So the mucus kind of goes everywhere. And what the problem is when you're eating really clean, if you're not taking in tons of water, and even if you are taking in tons of water, if you're not really keeping track of like your, you know, how frequent you're going, things start really slowing down and they can just stop. And that actually happened to me when I was at my peak, right around 230 pounds. I didn't notice. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm still going. And I'm like, you know, but I wasn't really going how much I should have been going.
Yeah.
And one day I woke up and my roommate just happened to be home, luckily. And I had been in pain for probably about 12 or 13 hours laying in bed and I couldn't move. And kind of in the fetal position. And basically my stomach would contract and then relax, contract and relax. If you look it up, like bowel obstructions, like it's close to the same kind of pain you experience when you're pregnant, like going through contractions. It literally, it will contract because it's trying to move the food.
Yeah.
And then it'll relax. And it would do that, you know, every a couple times a minute.
Wow.
And it got to the point, like, we're going on like 17 hours now. And my buddy's like, dude, you need to go to the hospital, man. And I'm like, all right, just take me. So we get there. He kind of basically almost carries me into the emergency room.
Wow.
And, you know, they hooked me up with some Dilaudid, and they did some x-rays, and they're like, you've got, like, a massive bowel obstruction.
Yeah.
Like, it was up top, too. It wasn't even close to being passed yet.
Oh, geez. You're putting so much food into your system, I feel like, you know.
Yep.
Digestion is so important for us in bodybuilding, and for you to have this issue on top of it, it's just it's another hurdle. And it's honestly stuff like this, stuff like the insulin, these are things I did not realize. I just thought to myself, oh, this is affecting the lungs. I didn't realize how far this travels into every aspect of your body.
Yeah. So the doctors would come in every couple of days when I was there for 10 days and ask if they want me, if I just want them to cut it out. And I'm like, no, you know, because I know what that leads to. It leads to more bowel obstructions and more cuts.
Okay.
And because basically, once they cut it and they sew it back together, it creates like a hard spot in the intestines, and then it makes things harder to pass through those spots. And it leads to more bowel obstructions and, you know, essentially more cutting. So, because I was doing research on it when they're asking me this, I'm like, no, let me think about this for a few minutes here.
Yeah.
And so he keep coming in. He's like, hey, you know, you got three hernias. You want me to fix those? Like, I'm like a salesman. And I was like, no, dude, like, just let me just pass this, all right? So on the 10th day, I ended up passing all this food that was in there.
Mm, God.
And that's like I said, I ended up losing like 20, like almost 20 pounds while I was there. Yeah, because, I mean, I wasn't force feeding myself anymore. You know, my body's like, all right, well. And they wouldn't let me eat anything.
And you lost 19 of those pounds, I think, on the last day.
Yeah, right. It felt like when it came out.
I bet.
And, I'm sure they heard me, like, throughout the whole hospital screaming. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I get back to the house, and, you know, things weren't good with the girls, with and all stuff. So, like, I'm like, all right, we're moving to Arizona. Pack my stuff up, you know, stuff like that. Get my job transfer, whatever. And, you're in Arizona, and like I was just really just trying to focus on, you know, getting back down to comfortable weight. And it was the first time in my life that I've ever had to experience trying to actually lose weight, because it was just naturally come off me anyways because of the disease and the malabsorption. Like, I just didn't have to really work at it.
Yeah.
So I actually had to work at it a little bit and to get some of this weight off. And so I got really inconsistent, got really back hardcore into like drinking and partying and being a 20-something-year-old, and that's living in, you know, Scottsdale, Arizona. And so when I moved back to Michigan, I moved back here because my wife and I, we had been friends for forever, and really good friends. And I came back here for a weekend to see if it, see how we meshed as more than just friends.
Okay.
And it went really well. So I'm like, you know what, I'll move back. And I think we both knew, like, if once I moved back, we were going to get married. And so I moved back here, and I started lifting. I got really serious into it again. And that lasted probably about 9 or 10 months. And then I had to start. I see when I get into an off season, I start lifting like hardcore and really focus into it. And this is not, you know, not taking any kind of supplements or anything like that at all. Like, my face always retains a lot of water.
Yeah.
And when we were getting married, I'm like, you know, I don't want to be all blown out, like bloated look. It's just really weird. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, right now, even my face is much fuller than it was when I was on stage, obviously.
I could tell. I saw it in your pictures, your recent picture on Instagram, compared to when I met you a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and like, it's funny because you can see, like, I have like a license photo, and it doesn't even look like me. And I wasn't, and I'm not on anything. It's just my normal face just holds a lot of water.
Okay.
And so I'm like, you know what, I don't want to look that, you know, I want to look good at my wedding and all that stuff. So, you know, I kind of just kind of like let off the gas a little bit in the gym and the food and all that stuff. And I was like, you know what, I kind of like not having to lift again. Like, because when I get into lifting, man, I get so tunnel visioned. And I think that's why I make so much progress. You know, obviously, I think there's genetics that play a role in there, obviously. But, like, I get so tunnel visioned with working out and lifting and my meals and everything that, you know, like, it's just, it's nice when I get the breaks. I almost feel like, it's funny because I almost feel like Sean Roden, that guy just goes off the map. Like, as soon as the show's over with, this guy just goes off the map and stops lifting.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you know, I caught the bug again, and like, I'm going to compete. And my wife's like, okay, you know, let's do it. So I ended up competing in the Flex Lewis Classic, completely 100% natural. I won the junior lightweights. I should have won the overall there. I just, you know, I hate being a smaller person on stage. And that's kind of a focus this off season, to make sure I'm not the smallest person on stage anymore.
All right.
Because I feel like, you know, you get overlooked, especially when you're in shape.
Yeah.
And I felt like that too, maybe a little bit at the Michigan shows as well. But, you know, I won that show, and I'm like, holy crap! Like, I'm actually decent at this. Like, that's cool. And then all of a sudden, like, I got tunnel vision again, man. And I started adding weight, but I was super lean at like 175, 180, super lean, nowhere near as lean and as big as I am now.
Okay.
But like, I had caught the bug, and I had probably went like maybe a month or two without lifting, and then started getting really crazy into it again. And then things started getting really fun. I got up to about 190, 192, and with abs, and I looked good. Like, I have a picture of it. I looked really good for that weight. I was like, all right, man, like, I could probably compete as a light heavyweight if I keep on this trajectory. And, cause I'm adding a ton of weight, like, each week, like, cause I'll do my own stuff. And, just really hold myself accountable, my meals and all that stuff. And I was like, man, I'm like just adding like a ton of weight, and it's not fat. It's just all muscle. Like, holy crap. Like, and, but even my wife was like, dude, you just keep getting bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, she's like, you know, we were trying to have kids, and we had to do, and 99% of males with CF are infertile.
Okay.
So we had to do IVF. So we've been saving our money for that. We saved all of our wedding money for that because we knew that's what we wanted to spend our money on. So we were, you know, really responsible with our money in terms of, all right, let's not go out and blow all this money everybody gave us. Like, we're going to save it for kids. Yeah. So We went through that, and soon we got like knee deep into this first round of IVF. Like, I just turned it off. I'm like, you know what? Like, I got other priorities right now. Like, my wife needs me. Like, you know, it's like there's a crazy shot regimen for her. Just like hormones and I'm the issue, but they still give her all that stuff too.
Okay.
And it was just a roller coaster of emotions because we end up, you know, she ended up miscarrying at like 9 weeks, and then we went through another one right away. As soon as they let us, you know, and we got a bad vibe from the doctor, and we were like halfway through this process, we pulled the plug, And it was just like a lot of this like roller coasters for my wife and I, like in terms of emotions. And I'm like, you know what? Like, obviously bodybuilding was the last thing I was thinking about. And then later that year, around my birthday, we hooked up with another doctor, up in Troy, Dr. Wolf. She's amazing. Just an amazing woman. And we got pregnant with twins.
Nice.
So the whole time she was pregnant with the twins, you know, I was lifting here and there, but nothing serious.
Now, what's the likelihood? You said if somebody was a carrier, you know, but didn't have CF, that there was,
right,
and they were to have a baby with another person who was a carrier, there's a 25% chance. What about if somebody already does have CF?
So the odds go up even more.
Okay.
But we made sure before we even tried to have kids, she got tested and she was not a carrier at all.
Okay.
So we couldn't possibly have a kid with it. Now they could be carriers. We haven't had them tested to see if they're carriers.
Okay. But they're 100% clear though.
Yep.
All right. Awesome, man.
Good. Yep. Healthy baby boys.
And how old are they now?
17 months.
All right.
Yeah. So bodybuilding. So basically what happened was, I was maintaining like around 180-ish, and the kids came, and we call him the little guy. So Camden, so their names are Roman and Camden, and Camden stopped growing in utero at like 30 weeks, and Roman was still growing. And so they didn't want to take them out because Roman was still growing, even though Camden wasn't. Well, and then it got to the point like around, she'd basically gone full term to 36, and they're like, all right, no, we gotta get Camden out. Like, he's not getting any nutrients, he's barely growing. So they take both the babies out, and Camden ended up having to spend about 6 weeks in the NICU. And it kind of translated or kind of came over into at home life. He needed a lot of extra care. So my wife and I, we own a business, and she does hair, she's self-employed. So I became basically a stay-at-home dad, and bodybuilding was the furthest thing from anything on my radar because I had a sick kid, basically. He didn't eat on his own. He wouldn't take a bottle. Just a lot of issues with, like, motor skills and stuff like that. He was really delayed. So I spent all day, every day, working with him, you know, and taking care of Roman.
And then how long did this go on before you actually hooked up with Phil Viz?
So fast forward, we are at the 1 year mark. There was right around the week of their birthday. Camden was showing like tons of signs of improvement and just things were starting to get somewhat normal. And I just reached out. I reached out to Phil and I said, hey, look, man, I don't always remember me. I'm, you know, on Facebook, I have a cystic fibrosis bodybuilding page. I'm like, you know, I'm the guy with CF that, you know, reached out to you a long time ago and said, hey, you know, I'd like to work with you. And he was in prep, and he kind of sent me an email back. And basically the gist of it was, you know, give me a good reason why I should take you on right now. I'm in prep, and, you know, you didn't want to do it then. So why now? So I gave him, you know, I told him, like, you know, look, dude, you know, I spent like $40,000 on trying to have kids. Like, I got kids now, like, you know, my one kid's doing good. So I'm in a good place right now. I have these two shows picked out. And we got on the phone, we talked after he agreed to take me on. And he goes, look, dude, he goes, I don't think you need to do a show. He goes, I see your photos. Like, you need to put on size. And I'm like, I don't think you understand, like, I respond really well, and I think we can grow into the show. We have a lot of time. I'm really lean right now. And he was really, really hesitant. He's like, dude, that's going to be a lot of work. Like, I don't know if you're going to be able to do it, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, look, dude, like, I'll do whatever it takes. I want to work with you, but I really want to do these two shows.
Yeah.
And he justified it. Like, he'll tell you, man, if you ever talk to Phil, man, he's so funny. He can justify or rationalize anything.
Okay.
So he's right away. He's like, all right, well, you know what? You could probably catch a really good rebound. You've never rebounded before from a show. Like, probably put some serious size on you. He goes, I'll tell you what, we'll do this if you commit to me, at least give me 6 months after the show of a full off season.
Okay.
He goes, 'cause I want to see how much you can grow. I'm like, okay, I agree. He's like, all right, let's do it then. So we got everything situated, got all the paperwork done, got my plan, and hit the ground running. And this guy, I'm telling you right now, I thought I was I had like the attention for detail. This guy is like down to the dots and the I's and the T's, man. This guy is so detail oriented, and I've never grown so much in my life. And I was in a prep. And he's just a mastermind on getting people to grow. So I'm super excited for the off season, which will probably start, I'm guessing, Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be a wild ride. I have a feeling people are gonna be pretty blown away.
So how'd you do at your two shows?
So at the Central, I took second in the middles to another guy. You know, Jay Cutler actually came up to me too as well at the Central show, and you know, told me, he's like, hey, look, man, I mean, you know, basically don't hold my head down. He's like, you're the most ripped guy in the show. You were peeled out of your mind. Like, you know, it is what it is. Kind of the placings.
Yeah.
And,
in your defense and everything, I mean, the guy who won, I mean, he was a genetic freak himself.
Right.
You know,
right.
He looked really great, and he went on to win the overall too.
Right.
You know,
right.
Which is very rare for a middleweight. You know, right. And there were some good guys. I mean, that was a stacked show. You know,
I was really impressed with the lineup, like super impressed actually, because I didn't know what to expect going in there. And my biggest fear, and I think Phil's biggest fear, was we just went through all this work to compete against one person.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or nobody, and that was my biggest fear. I wanted to go up against like some good bodybuilders.
Yeah.
And I got my wish with that kid.
Yeah.
I looked at him and I'm like, there's no way he's a middleweight. And he's standing next to me. He goes, are you a middleweight? I go, yeah. He goes, me too. And he's looking at me. He's like, dude, you are like shredded.
Right,
and I'm
right.
Like, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, you've got like 10 pounds on me. I'm like, man, this is not going to be like, I'm like, this is kind of like apples and oranges right now. Like, do you want the guy that's like peeled out of his mind? Or do you want the guy that has a pretty physique, you know, that, you know, is not like peeled, but he wasn't out of shape. I mean,
no, absolutely.
I wouldn't say he was out of shape at all. I mean, but so, you know, the chips fell, and when he won the overall, I was like, okay, kind of like made me feel a little better about losing to him.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. So like, basically that was essentially like, you know, maybe a knot or two away from taking an overall. And this show, the funny thing is, the Central show wasn't even our target show.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't even fully peak for that show.
So that's when I saw you, was 2 weeks later at the Western, and that was the target, huh?
That was a target show, and Phil and I made some changes for the peak week, and I hate using peak week, but
yeah,
'cause everybody uses that term, but we made some changes during that week. We carb loaded, we front loaded carbs, and then kind of kept them minimal.
Okay.
Up until Thursday and Friday, and especially Friday, we went all the way until like 3 or 4 in the morning with eating, and changed all the protein sources from turkey to beef, and my physique just like transformed. I was crazy, crazy full compared to the Central States, and I, in my opinion, definitely harder than I was at Centrals, and yeah, it was just overall a really good look, and I ended up winning the middleweights there. So
yeah, it was a great look, and I don't know what you looked like at Centrals. I didn't see you in person there, but I did see you in person at the Western, and you were probably the most diced guy in the show. I think you.
I appreciate that,
and especially too. I don't think pictures always do justice. I was looking at a couple of your pictures last night on Instagram. When you see the muscle moving, it's a whole different thing, and I really don't think that the pictures totally captured it. I got a question for you. So
yeah,
you know, you mentioned to me that you've got to stay very hydrated, and that's to kind of keep all the mucus from basically solidifying, really. And it takes a lot more for you than a normal person. You mentioned to me before we were recording that you're drinking like 2 gallons a day at least. How does that play into your, you know, quote unquote peak week? I mean, we got to use the term. There's right. We could say like the week leading into the show, but that's a lot more words.
Right. Yeah, I was going to use that actual phrase. Like, it's too many words. It's like right. 9 in the morning right now.
Right.
So yeah, that was actually a big fear of mine. I think I can't stress enough like what Phil did in the background and before all the stuff took place. So I have to give him some more kudos right here, because he actually his girlfriend's actually a nurse. She's a nurse for a GI doctor.
Okay.
And so he actually had her ask a ton of questions for his own personal knowledge about CF and the GI tract. And that's why, like, if anybody saw my plan for what I was eating, like, it was the same stuff pretty much every day for 20 weeks, because we wanted to eliminate any variable of, you know, that there's a chance of I could have an issue with my GI from a digestion standpoint.
Sure.
Or just like, you know, anything at all. So he actually did a ton of work before he even gave me a plan to make sure, you know, that we had no issues or no hiccups with stuff that, you know, could have been avoided maybe. So we get down to peak week and, I knew that we're going to start, you know, cutting water. He'd given me everything, you know, beforehand. So I knew cutting water was going to start happening around Thursday-ish, okay. Friday. We pushed water really hard all the way up until Friday at, 3:30, 4 o'clock. And that's mainly because it was kind of a benefit to me. Like, I was so light that I didn't have to really worry about making weight.
Yeah.
So we were just pushing crazy amounts of water. Like, I'd already drinking 3 gallons by 4 o'clock in the afternoon before weigh-ins.
Wow. And you came in when we say you were light. So you're middle weight. So 176 and a quarter is the top end. Would you say you were 167? Right. All right.
Well, with three gallons of water in me, I stepped on the scale at 171.
Oh, okay.
172. And then, but that night after we started pulling water and stuff like that, and the morning of the show, I was 167, 168.
Okay.
So I was at the bottom of the weight class on stage, whereas everybody else was probably closer to the top. It was funny. So we were really worried about, like, things slowing down.
Yeah.
And so the funny thing is, like, I think all that extra water Friday really played to our advantage, because I ended up going to the bathroom, which, you know, is like hitting the lottery, that morning, just naturally, just it was perfect, man. And my stomach was completely flat, tight, ready to go. So he's like, all right, nice. Let's eat some more food. And, things went really well. And I didn't really have any issues afterwards, because I was still drinking, you know, I drank water after the show and stuff like that. So I didn't have a lot of issues afterwards either. I attribute that mostly because we just really stayed on top of hydration the whole entire prep, just always pounding water, always pounding water, always pounding water. And, which is something that I'm not accustomed to doing, because I personally don't like water.
Hmm.
It's annoying to me. It takes up stomach space.
Sure.
I don't want to eat food. And, I don't like the taste of plain water. So, during that last week, you know, like, obviously we're cutting out some of the artificial stuff. So that was a little more difficult for me to get all the water down, but it played a vital role in to make sure that, you know, I didn't have anything bad happen in terms of, you know, the bowels or anything like that. So.
Right on. So, you know, what's going to be the difference here? You know, you're getting ready to hit your off season now. You've been here before, you know, it sounds like you've been really successful in the past, probably more successful than a lot of people have been. I mean, the weight that you've been able to put on, I think that there's some guys out there that just dream they could have put on that much size, be it clean or not, you know, the ability to hit your conditioning, the placings that you've gotten, the look that you achieved here. I mean, these are new things, but in a way you've achieved some really cool stuff. What's going to be the difference this time around now? Because I'm right there with you, and I'm right there with, as you know, you mentioned your buddies and Phil. I would love to see this happen. So tell me what's going to be different now.
Well, just from a mindset standpoint, you know, hearing you guys, talk about, I sent Phil the podcast, when you guys were talking about me a couple episodes ago, man, it really, it really lit a fire under me. You know, it's different when you have people that are close to you that don't really like my workout partner. He's a quintessential. He's younger. He's like 24.
Yeah.
He just wants to get big.
Yeah.
That's all. He doesn't care if he competes. He just wants to get big. You know. You remember those.
We've
days.
Been there. Yeah.
Right. I just want to get big, man. Okay. That's fine. I'll help you get big. So, like, as long as you rack my weights. but hearing these people, you know, like, oh my God, like, you look crazy, like, insane, like, whatever words you're using, it doesn't carry the same weight as to people like yourself and, you know, like Jay Cutler coming up to you, like, personally just walking up to me.
Yeah.
And other guys backstage saying, like, dude, like, you are, like, you're peeled out of your mind, like, you are grainy, like, using those words, like, I think of grainy. The first person I think of is, like, Branch Warren or John Meadows.
Yeah.
You know, like, those guys are grainy. Like, when I look at myself in the mirror, I thought I looked grainy, but I don't really know. You know, you're just, like, hypercritical of your own self.
Sure.
And I'm looking at myself, I'm like, okay, I look all right. You know, like, I look good. Whatever you're thinking in your head, but it's nowhere near, it doesn't carry the same weight as when other people are talking about you. So that kind of lit a fire under me. I'm like, and when Phil texts me, he's like, dude, like, you can get into like some condition that people can't get into, man.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's like, if we can get more weight on you, dude, you're going to be a lot to handle, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And when he said that and he got excited, it's, you know, it carries a lot more weight, man. So like the fire in me is burning really, really strong right now. And, like I said, I'm just really looking forward to the next 6 months to see what we can do together. And that's his specialty. You know, a lot of people don't know that about Phil, that, you know, he does prep, he does this, he does that. His specialty is getting people to grow, and his specialties are back and legs, which you can never have enough back or legs.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I never knew, you know, 'cause I've never been that lean. I didn't really know where my lats tied in at. I didn't know they actually tied in that low.
Yeah.
So I'm like, holy crap. Like, my back actually could be good. Like, if I start adding more size and thick, no more width and more thickness, I'm like, holy smokes. So when I saw all that, when I saw the pictures from the stage and stuff, it is tenfold, man. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to hit the off season. And, the goal right now is 18 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So, 18 pounds of stage weight. So, we don't really know like how it's all going to translate, if we're going to suffer and cut down the middleweight.
Yeah.
Or if we're going to hit 18 pounds, reevaluate, and then go for light heavy.
Yeah.
And push for more and then go to the top of light heavy.
Yeah. You'd be really a huge light heavy. I mean, and realistically, you'd be a great middleweight too. I mean, I think of the guys, I mean, like, if you take a national level show, you've got a lot more time to weigh in. So, I mean, you know, if you were to push up, and you're how tall? 5'7"?
5'6".
5'6", even better. So if you're 5'6", and we came in at 167 the morning of the show, I mean, sure, man, you could easily, you know, put on 10 pounds and 10 right. pounds on a frame like yours, you know, 10 pounds on a middleweight is a lot. That's not 10 pounds on Jay Cutler. You know what I mean? That's
right,
a, it's a
right.
lot of weight. So,
right.
I mean, even if you weren't to move up to light heavy, I think that you could be, you know, real dangerous, you know, especially with that condition, man. So I'm excited to see where you take it. And I think that, you know, I encourage everybody here from Advices to follow along with what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, I try to document everything about how I feel, health wise on, you know, on Instagram, my storyline, stuff like that. So like leading up to this show, we're doing almost 2 hours of cardio a day. And, before we got heavy into cardio, I actually finally had to put my tail between my legs. That's how I felt, at least. And I called Phil and I go, look, dude, I can't do HIIT, man. Like, you got it written in my program, dude, but my lungs, I just can't do it. Like, it just physically, I can't do HIIT cardio, man. And he's like, all right, dude, well, let's reevaluate. So he just added a ton more time to the step mill, which sucked. but you know, like, just him being able to make that tweak and then me being able to be comfortable enough and tell him, you know, that was really tough for me. Like, as not just, you know, as a bodybuilder, as just as a man in general, being like, look, dude, I physically can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I do this, like, I can already tell you right now, it's going to lead to me getting sick and I'm about to pull out of the shows if I keep pushing my body to this point, because it's just my lungs can't handle that kind of cardio at this point now in my life. Like, I'm looking at, I got about 48 to maybe 52% of my lungs left.
Okay.
That function, that work. And
that's not a ton, man. You know, that's,
no,
that's
and, not and a lot. You're trying to, if you're trying to do HIIT cardio at 4% body fat, it's just, you know, and you got other supplements and stuff that play into like your, you know, respiratory and stuff like that. It's not feasible for me.
Yeah.
And, luckily, you know, I was able to, you know, swallow my pride a little bit, and then he made the adjustment, and out of nowhere, man, I had glutes and hamstrings and everything else. So
is there anything else we're missing here in the story that we should mention before we finish up?
I don't think so, man. I think we pretty much covered everything.
All right. You mentioned Phil. We're talking about Phil Viz. You guys can reach out to him. You know, he's all over the internet, Instagram.
Right, he's everywhere, man.
Facebook. He's friends with Skip Hill, and I do a radio show with Skip. Skip is on vacation right now on a cruise. When he gets back, I actually asked him, we'd been planning on this for a couple of weeks, to reach out to Phil. I would love to have him on Blood, Sweat, and Gear, where we do a question and answer show. I think that he'd be a great fit for something like that. So, you know, real colorful guy too. I'd heard a lot of his stuff back when he was on Geared Up. It's awesome to see the interest that he's taking in you. And, you know, it's not the first time. I mean, so I really believe, man, you've got something special here. And, you know, I hope that you can continue to keep doing this and to stay healthy in the process, you know?
That's the main takeaway. The main goal right now for me is to maintain my health. It's kind of a balancing act, you know, especially going into an off season where there's going to be just as much, or if not more, stress on the body in terms of just the intensity of the workouts.
Yeah.
So that's the main goal right now, is to make sure I stay healthy, and we don't have anything that derails us during the next 6 or 7 months. So.
Right on. Well, guys, for Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with James Boudreaux. Thanks for being here, James. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Here's your ticket. Here the drama get wicked. The clue to you to push the back, the black attack. So I sack and jab and slap the Mac. Now I'm ready to mic it. Hear my favoritism, Rolo. Never be a brother like me, go solo. Laser Anastasia Major. Raise the blaze your brain and train ya. The way I'm living, forgiving what I'm giving up. X on the flex, give me now. I don't know about later. But now I know how to avoid the paranoid. Man, I'm padded up to here. Yeah, I wear, got them going in fear. Rhetoric said and read just a bit ago. And now I'm quick to go sign the hard rammer. Work to keep from getting jerked, changing some ways. The way back in the better days. Raw, metaphysically bold, never follow the code. Still drop the load. Never question what I am, God knows. Course is coming from the heart. What I got, better get some. Get on up, hustler of culture. Snake bitten, been spit in the face. But the rhymes keep fitting. Respect's been given, how's your living? Now I can't protect, I paid off defect. Check the record and record, intentional wreck. Raid off as some intellect. Made the call, took the fall, broke the laws. Not my fault that they're falling off. Known as fair square throughout my years. So I growl at the living foul. Black to the bone, my home is your home. But welcome to the Terror Dome.
Advices Radio.